Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Get Healthy Now with Denise Thompson, certified transformational health and wellness coach, nurse, fitness trainer, educator, Blog Talk Radio host, best-selling author. So the title of today's show is actually Growing Through Struggles. And where did that come from? Well, yesterday I had the privilege to be interviewed by my dear friend, Dr. Delia McCabe from Australia. Can you believe it? We can do things like that now internationally. So cool. So the title for us for our video on YouTube was, What 50 Plus Years in the Medical Field Teaches You. What I realized was that most things I got to learn over those years and until now had to do with growing through struggles and welcoming them to better myself. Yes, struggles make you stronger, especially when you get to learn from them and through them. So what I realized is that it all relates to mindset, perceptions, open mind, and open heart. And I'm going to show you a little bit on how this actually came all about. So I'm going to give you some of the highlights. And I did include at the bottom the link of the YouTube. Unfortunately, I was not able to hyperlink it. But if you copy and paste it into your URL, you will get the YouTube. Anyway, the story started, I was about 10 years old when my aunt, who was a superior nurse or a head nurse at one of the little private hospitals in Switzerland, said if I wanted to come and spend the vacation with her, because that was actually the first year I started learning French in school, and she was in the French part of Switzerland. So I thought, oh, how cool. I get to learn French, get to spend some time with my aunt, who had spent lots of times in the mission field. She was in Angola. She worked at the Albert Schweitzer Hospital over there in Africa. She was in so many countries. She came home with illnesses and stuff and always got better again. So that was pretty darn cool. So she allowed me to go, you know, and help her do the rounds with patients, especially the ones who enjoyed to get some young blood in the room, to have some smiles or laughter, or to, you know, just to fill up their cup with water or some minor things. And I was able to do that. And so that freed actually up my aunt to do some things that were her duty to oversee or to perform that I couldn't do. So I was able to get, you know, my hands to use and my mind to grow from an early stage on in my life with things that did not harm anybody, but that taught me lessons. Then as I got older and I was in my teens, I was able to go to my uncle's place, and he was a medical doctor and had his own praxis, and I was able to lend a hand with patient care, with procedures, get the tools ready that he needed. He did a lot of varicose veins to alleviate the pain in the legs and things. So I never cut anybody open for that. I didn't do any of that, but I was able to watch and I was able to get the trays ready, sterile trays. And that taught me already some responsibility. And it showed me that when you do whatever you do with passion and conviction and with love, that you can make a difference. Because he was not a doctor because he wanted money, or because he wanted to be famous. That was the last thing from his mind. He was a doctor out of conviction. And I say that because I have witnessed when I was there that a lot of his patients lived up in the mountains and depending on the weather and on their condition and on the roads, they could not make it up or down the mountain. And sometimes he couldn't even make it up with his Land Rover or his Jeep. So what did he do? He saddled up his horse, put the tools that he needed or the medications that he needed in his backpack, and he rode up to their home to go do patient care once or twice a week for a few hours. And the interesting part that actually awakened the desire of wanting to be active in the medical field was that when they couldn't pay good money, then he had just accepted a loaf of homemade bread or some corn that they harvested or some carrots or whatever it was. He just accepted what they offered for his services. His joy was to be able to help them and make them feel better and get healthy again. And whatever he got for his efforts was good enough for him. He enjoyed it. He always had use for everything. And when dinner was served, he said, these potatoes came from such and such client, you know. And I went up the mountain and I did whatever he did. And it was always so much fun, and he showed so much appreciation for everything that I grew very fond of that profession. So when I was old enough, I actually went to nursing school and I became a nurse. And I worked for a few years. I actually even took care of my aunt, the one who was the head nurse, when she got really sick after she got married to a gentleman who already had a daughter from his first marriage. And when his wife and his daughter were able to come home after the baby was delivered, the wife collapsed in the doorway and was dead. And so he raised his little girl with his parents together for the first few years. But he was a nervous wreck. He was just depressed and not feeling good whatsoever. And then he actually made it to the clinic where my aunt was the superior or the head nurse. And they fell in love and they got married and had another daughter. And when the second one was about 3 years old or so, my aunt was diagnosed with cancer. So I took a break from working in the hospital, and I went to take care of her. And I took her to the doctor's appointments, and the doctor, you know, told me what to do and how much morphine to give her and whatever. I mean, I followed the instructions to the T, and she wanted to do most of the things naturally. So we worked on that. I supported the family. I raised the two daughters that they had together. And I made sure that her husband, who was now faced with losing his second wife after the second child, just a few years old, that he was eating, and I did the laundry and everything else. So it was rewarding in some ways to be there and to be there with my nieces. But on the other hand, it was stressful because he was in such a, he definitely collapsed back into depression. But anyway, after that, I did a few other things. I also worked as a secretary in an office where I used my language skills. And then one of my bosses received a letter from his daughter, who lived in the USA, saying that her girlfriend had a baby boy and she needs a nanny because she wants to go back to work. And my boss asked me if I knew anybody. And I said, yes, I want to go. I want to learn English. Long story short, I made arrangements. Everything had to be in writing. And I ended up going to the United States to be a nanny. And that was actually end of August 79. So that was 41 years ago. And I also met my husband during that year, so before Christmas. And it was amazing. So I didn't speak English when I went there, just very broken English from that 1 year. Oh, I did not tell you that. Yeah, so after nursing school, I also went to a seminary school from our church in Austria, where I was the school nurse, and I got to save two lives. And that was so rewarding, because I still had some doubts about my life, about my skills, about myself, because in my family, as much as I loved my parents, the boys were always better than the girls, and there was always a question about me, and I go, okay, whatever. But when I was working as the school nurse, and at 10 o'clock at night, one of the boys came over to the bottom of the student home I was in, and said he was in pain, he couldn't raise his arm. I said, I want to see your arm. And I saw that red line going up towards his armpit. And you know, once it's there, it's going into the lymphatic system. So I talked to the headmaster and said, you need to take him to the ER ASAP. That means immediately, right now. And he goes, no, we'll go tomorrow. I said, no, tomorrow's too late. You can plan the funeral if you don't do it today. Call him right now and say this is an emergency and go. If it's not, I'll take the blame, but I know it's not. Go. So he did call the doctor, and the doctor said, well, I'm close, but the symptoms that you describe are serious. They're severe. Bring him in right now. And the next morning when I saw them, he said, you just saved his life. The doctor said a few more hours and he would have been dead. And I go, see, I'm not the drama queen that you tell me to be. So a few weeks or maybe a month or so later, we had a young girl who said she was in pain. And it was also the left arm. And that's even worse because it's so close to the heart, right? So I looked at her. I said, same thing. I said to the headmaster, take her in right now. Call up and say we have another case of blood poisoning. And he did. He did not argue with me this time. And he came back and said the next day, she too. 10 more, 17 more hours max, and she would have been gone. So thank you. And I go, you're welcome. And both of them, they didn't have any signs, no puncture wounds, no scratches, no nothing over their bodies. I could not find anything. So why did they get blood poisoning? That's still beyond me. But point is, I was actually able, with my intuitive nature, to save their lives. And so after that, when I worked a little bit more, and then I got that message from my new boss that his daughter is looking for a nanny for her girlfriend, that's when I accepted it and made the arrangements that they pay for my flight to come over here. And that was actually quite an intriguing situation. Because, as I said, I didn't really speak much English. So I go, what now? And so I learned English. And how did I do that? The people said, well, just watch TV. And I kind of looked at them in total disbelief and said, yeah, right, watch TV. What do I understand? They speak so fast. I had learned a little bit of British English, you know, while I was in a seminary and went to England for 6 months or so, but that was not even close to being to the point where I could say I understand English and let's communicate in English. So I decided I'm going to make the best out of this situation. And what I did is I started looking for children episodes of something, children's stories, where the pictures actually told the story, and what they said, I heard, but I didn't know exactly what they said. But from the pictures, it would make sense to me. And every night before I went to bed, I studied 50 words or 100 words until they actually made sense to the content that I watched. And so that was the way I learned English. And within a year, I was fairly fluent already. So that was the thing. And I learned English and I did this and that, and I got, got my AA degree at a junior college after I was married to my husband in June of 1980. And that was been already 40 years ago, a blessing in disguise, because I decided I love to push myself and learn more. So, as I said, I got my bachelor's degree, and I thought I was going to be smart. I studied German linguistics, and I thought, well, it's my native language, so it should be a cinch. Well, it was not. It was one of the most difficult challenges and struggles I went through. Number one, everything was explained in English, which I did not understand fully. So I had to learn the English vocabulary and then make sense out of what they taught. And when they used the Latin terminology, their pronunciation was so different from our pronunciation. And if you know a little bit about geography, Switzerland is next door to Italy, where they speak Italian and where a lot of Latin is spoken or was spoken in the Vatican. You know, so I thought that my Latin was, for those particular things, was pretty good. And they always corrected me. I was so frustrated. Finally, I just caved in and said, I'm going to do it their way, even though I don't like it. But, you know, in order to pass the grade and to pass and to get your degree, you kind of need to do what the professors want you to do. So after that, many years went by, and I did a lot of different things. And then let's fast forward to 2009. That's when, in 2007, actually, my father-in-law started having problems with his diabetes. He was pretty heavy diabetic, and they found some gangrene under his toe. His girlfriend in her early 90s already didn't see it because, I mean, vision goes down around that time, and she was really good for my father-in-law, the whole foot. They did. 2 weeks later, they said, oh, it's already progressed up. We need to go up to the knee. So long story short, he was an amputee, a diabetic with Alzheimer's and dementia. So my husband in 2009 said to me, let's take him home. He doesn't have that much longer to live. Let's give him a great end of the life time, spend quality time with him, treasure him, appreciate him, and let him know that he is valuable, you know, because he was totally mistreated in the convalescent home after the amputation. So these 6 years that we had with my father-in-law taught my husband and myself some valuable lessons, one of which was patience, different ways of excellent patient care. I mean, my father-in-law had big holes in his buttocks just from not being taken care of properly. He actually was on 4 heavy-duty sleeping pills when he came down here, and 11, 12 different other medications, some of which were doubled or tripled up, just with a different brand name. And I looked at that stuff, having been a nurse before and still having had a PDR, which is a physician desk reference book. And I double-checked the things, and I called up the doctor that we had chosen for him down here and said, doctor, honestly, this is the list that he has. I want to reduce his sleeping medications, especially during the day. I want him to sleep at night. He calls every half hour. We don't get any sleep. I want him to be awake during the day so he sleeps at night. I don't see why he has to have so much insulin and everything else. I think he almost OD'd on insulin. And so with the doctor together, we worked it out, and we were able to reduce the medications, the insulin. We had better care. After 6 months, his buttocks was healed, and my husband started swimming with him daily. We actually have a video on YouTube called Bond of Three Swimmers. It's B-O-N-D-O-S-T-H-R-E-E. SWIMMERS. And it's that called that because it was my husband, my father-in-law, and I who went swimming every day. And so they started at, you know, just a few laps, and we ended up at a mile every day, a Nordic mile, which is 2,000 yards every day. And on the days before they closed the gym, we did it twice, in the morning once and in the evening once. And so my father-in-law became much more lucid and happier, and that was amazing. So that gave me actually the joy, but I, with all the stress that I had, was taking care of him during the day when my husband was at work. It was hard to put him from the wheelchair or from the recliner onto the toilet because he only had one leg to stand on, literally, okay, and physically. And so I had some major injuries and stuff, and it got too much for me, and I started getting depressed. And anyway, after that, gained a lot of weight, and I went up to 180 pounds at the frame of 5'2" at that time. And then more stuff happened. Well, long story short, six years forward to 2015, and actually in four days, it's exactly 5 years since he passed. He passed in peace. He passed without pain. He passed just knowing that everything is going to be under control. He heard my last message where I told him the day before he went that we are going to do exactly as he instructed us to do. And you could see his face just literally lit up. He was at peace. I don't know how much he heard or whatnot because he was kind of like in a semi-coma or coma for the last 4 days. But his light face lit up, and so I just really helped. You know, it just helped. So after that, I decided now it's time for me to take care of myself, and that's what I did. I tried it on my own, thinking I was a nurse, I was a fitness trainer, I know what I'm doing, and I could only release 13 pounds in 9 months, and that was not acceptable. So I found an amazing program that taught me that mindset is the key to just about anything. It creates health or it creates illness. We need to change our habits, the bad ones into excellent and healthy and good ones. And so that's what I've been doing. So over the next probably 7 months, I released another 45 pounds and went down to a size 2 from a size 18. And I felt marvelous. Everything has been really great since then. I learned how to take care of my emotions. And now I'm paying it forward and I'm helping others with their journey. And I can journey with them because I have all these experiences from my life, from my 50 plus years in the medical field. And I need to add, I have a brother who's a doctor. I have a sister who's now a head nurse in a hospital. I was a nurse. I have two cousins who are doctors. I have a cousin who's a dental hygienist. And I have a cousin who's a dentist. So we have a lot of medical people in the family. And I looked at them as examples. So just to give you a little transformational story from one of my clients, so you can see how that kind of works. This person, a wonderful, lovely lady, found me on Facebook and she asked me if I was still coaching. And I said, yes, ma'am, I am. And she goes, could you help me? I said, let's talk. Let's see what you need and then I'll tell you if I can help you. Because I like to under-promise and over-deliver rather than the other way around. So we did get together. And we talked to, talked about her health goals and what she wanted. And she goes, I can't go under 135 pounds, and that's too heavy for me. I was 118 or 115 when I got married, and that's where I want to go. And I can't do this, and I can't do that, and it's whatever. Finally, I said, ma'am, And I gave her name because people love when you give them their name. And I said, may I make a suggestion, please? She said, please do so. I said, from today on, from right now on, I would really appreciate you not using these words anymore. You're sabotaging yourself before you even start the journey. Yes, I'm willing to take you on as my client. However, let's work on that mindset right now that we are not using anything negative, that we rephrase it to a way that allows us to grow through it, through those struggles. For her, that was a struggle not to get under 135. So having said that, we worked on it, and lo and behold, now she's down, I think she's down under 120. She's close to 115, and she's feeling really happy and inspired. And that was a major success for her. And it was a success for me because I was able to guide her to her goal by being firm yet loving. And I said, you know what? If you don't believe in yourself that you can do it, let me believe in you. And you pull from my belief in you. And we'll do it together. We'll journey together. I'll be with you every step of the way. So that gets me to the point where I'm going to tell you that I have a free gift. Number one is I can put you on my mailing list for a weekly healthy newsletter. They're about a page with a healthy recipe, a healthy activity, and some other information where you can access or you can have access to a health webinar on a Wednesday night. You can also send me information to, for that newsletter, it'd be best if you send it to coachdenise@ctdigest.net. And also, if you would like to take me up on that 30-minute free health goal assessment. For other things, for questions and suggestions, email me to dythomson@gmail.com or voicemail or text me to 562-335-4956. And I said voicemail or text because unless we have a scheduled call and I'm with a client already, I will not interrupt my session with my clients. It's out of respect and love for them, and I will do the same for you. Once we've talked and I've saved your information and we have our time, I will give you the same courtesy, the same respect, and the same love. So working through these struggles created a healthy mind and a healthy body in me and now in my clients. And if you want that, please let me know. And as I said, I included the video of my interview, which is just a little bit different from what I said, but I included that below in the transcript here on this episode. And you can highlight it, copy and paste it into your URL so you can watch the video on YouTube. And if you don't see it there, just go to YouTube and put in, that, 50 plus years in the medical field, what that has done for me. So that's another point. It's always for and not to. So you can see I've gone through many struggles moving from a different country to the USA, learning my fifth language, English. So first one, Swiss German, High German, French. Then I learned some Italian, which are some of the main languages in Switzerland. Then I came over here and learned English relatively well. And I'm also studying some Spanish, which I'm not doing too great at yet, though the yet is important. I still have ample opportunity to learn more and to grow in that too. So that's why I'm saying struggles make us stronger. Let's push through it and make the best out of it. I wish you a fabulous week, and I'll talk to you again next Thursday at 11 a.m. Until then.